with Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. Good morning, Selwyn.
Yeah, good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, you're in Tonga at the moment. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, that's right. I arrived here early Monday morning on the first flight in after the New Zealand and Australian Armed Forces secured the airport. It all began back on Thursday night, Jonathan, where a group of youths turned up, for example, at the Chinatown Hotel threatening to destroy it. The proprietors there, they urged the youths to take whatever they wished, but pleaded that the hotel be spared. The place was looted and the Chinese owners fled. One expat Kiwi was telling me yesterday that she had seen a quarry truck going up and down the road. It was spotting specific buildings that were to be destroyed. What followed were youth gangs and mobs, the Bush Boys, they're called, and also another group called the Deportees. Fire bombs were unloaded off the quarry truck as buildings were looted, and once those buildings were cleaned out, the petrol bombs were hurled inside. And all of this was happening, Jonathan, on the perimeter of Tonga's main capital town, Nuku'alofa. Inside the capital CBD, it was already ablaze by that stage. Youth mobs primed on alcohol had stormed through the town and systematically targeted buildings aligned to the pro-monarchist government here, and also overseas companies, especially those owned by Chinese. Every appearance, Jonathan, is that it was totally organised, and what came from there was basically, the blitz just continued through Thursday night and into Friday. Hundreds of people, they fled the central part of the town seeking refuge at the New Zealand High Commission. And by morning, 80% of Nuku'alofa was smouldering and then turning to ash. Tongans woke up to seeing a dark black plume rising from their capital town, and the people have labelled it now Black Thursday. Sorry about the monologue, Jonathan, but officially six people lay dead. Unofficially, two more bodies were found on Saturday. They are yet to be formally identified, and police are now collating a missing persons list but won't confirm as to how many names have been added to that list. Meanwhile, while all of that was taking place, the Tongan government realised that its authorities just could not keep control of the country, particularly on the island of Tongatapu, which is the main island here. Australian and New Zealand help was sought, and indeed the Australian federal government and New Zealand government agreed to a joint force contingent to be sent over here to Tonga. The military wing of the Australian and New Zealand forces secured the airport within about 12 hours, and the first commercial flights were able to take place, as I was saying earlier, on early Monday morning. Also, with that contingent is a police force that has been sent from Australia, the Australian Federal Police Force and also the New Zealand Police Force, specifically with forensic and arson experts, as well as New Zealand police contributing a criminal intelligence analyst. They are all here now. For how long? Who knows? It's an enormous task, of course, and the police are saying to us, meaning the media, that it will be at least two more weeks, but most likely will extend far beyond that, Jonathan.
So it's just starting to stabilise at the moment?
It is showing all the signs of stabilising. The Tongan military have checkpoints at every access road toward the town, and they've created what they're calling a blanket kind of curfew and keeping everybody out of the inner part of the town. What I can say there is that the police and the soldiers and the government have deemed it a crime scene, and it has been treated as such. Attention's now turning here from the what and how to the why this blitz occurred and where it is heading from here. And I guess the answers to that why lie in the political arena, where a constitutional monarchy does appear to have held on to its power for far too long and has dominated who gets to rule in the legislative assembly here in Tonga for time immemorial. It ignored the calls from the democratic reformists, and while those numbers of those that were fed up with having no voice grew higher, the monarchy here seems to have turned a blind eye to that, Jonathan.
So when it all settles down, how do you think they'll go about rebuilding?
The rebuilding is going to take years, and the Tongans are saying generations, relating to the actual rebuilding the capital here. 80% of Nuku'alofa has been destroyed, and it's really, really something else to see how widespread the destruction is. Walking through there even yesterday, certain buildings were still smouldering. The smell of old smoke and ash smell was just hanging low in the air. It's almost like a spaghetti western ghost town in some respects, in that all the buildings that are destroyed, the wind whistles through them and the streets are totally empty. And it's a kind of a scene that you don't get to see that often in this lifetime, Jonathan.
Sounds absolutely devastating. Well, thank you for your time this morning, Selwyn.
Okay, Jonathan. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Catch you up in a week's time.
All right. Fantastic. That was Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz, New Zealand's independent news.